this feels surreal, actually, like, you know, that sort of way.
That's me. My name is Fran Gore.
Doesn't it? To me, it feels surreal, sort of, you know.
That's Martin Gore. I don't know whether to call him an uncle or a brother, but I'll come back to that later.
Yeah, this apparently, this is where they were, and she took a turn and then she came over here and said she wanted to get the church and job right over here.
We're in the grounds of the Church of the Holy Family in Ockham Street. It sounds nice, doesn't it? You wouldn't think we're in the inner city.
It's the first time I was down here. It's mad, strange feeling, all right. Brings back all sorts of memories.
Brings back too much feelings. I just feel very emotional and very sad, like, just to think, like, you know what I mean? Just brings back up a lot of feelings.
But as far as I know, I was here. It was along here somewhere, don't you? They used to drink over there along the wall. Or over there in the tree, over there in the corner, where the cans and all that. They would have been drinking over there. I think she took whatever way. She got up or something, she just didn't feel well. Staggered over here, job right over as far as here. And as far as I know, then I think he just went out and got somebody to get an ambulance. The rest, they say, is history. That's where she died.
Mary Gore, who brought me into this family, died here 2 years ago. She was 52.
But she probably thought she was safe beside the church, and so she was held up beliefs, you know.
I still have a belief.
And that's why she wanted to make her way back to the church.
Maybe she wasn't. I wouldn't think she was frightened, even. The fact that it was here. You know, it probably was in the door, in the street, or, you know, like outside of pub or kip or whatever. The fact that it was here is probably the fact that I was quiet and just thinking, well, like, she probably knew in her heart that, well, this is it. Just me final moments. Look where I am, right beside the church. So maybe it wasn't so frightening for her. I mean, some people that think they were in a hospital and they were dying or surrounded by equipment and that would probably scare the life out of them. Probably, Jesus, the fright alone would kill them, but I think probably here, I'm thinking that's probably, now Mary, the touch she was, she probably felt, you know, probably accepted them all.
It is, yeah.
It's probably, you know what I mean? Saying, well, okay, I know this is it. But where I am, and the fact that I can handle it. But I must have been an awkward thing for poor old Joe with her on the night to think, and like, an awkward fact. I assume it was over there, somewhere over the trees, right, that they were probably drinking there. Because I know Joe told me that she wanted to get to the church, get over to the church. Now, after that, I don't know what happened. When I was speaking to him, God love me, he was all over the place. So I can only assume he's probably got one of the priests or somebody ran out onto the street and somebody got the ambulance. But it was definitely here, anyway. Definitely here.
And that was her final demand, to be brought down to this church?
Yeah, over to the church, to the door of the church. There's no way to go, was it? There's no way to go. But here's a kid actually growing up in the house. James was never a dull moment with her. I swear, I remember years ago, I was very, very young, but it would have been, say, a few years down the road, you're hearing stories. You can imagine seven kids crammed in this house. It was never a dull moment. Bleeding nights, 24/7 or whatever. Marty, now, my oldest brother. Now, James, they idolised each other. But growing up, there was always a little bit of friction with them. And he used to have this thing about they were outstaring each other. Now, my mother would probably tell you a better version of it than I would, because obviously I was hearing at a later stage. But if, save the old brother Steve, he'd be reading the newspaper, and like the corner of the paper would obviously fall down. Would that be pointing the whole direction? And she'd be saying, "Ma, he's pointing the paper at me. He's kind of," and then she'd probably go out and get a cup of tea or something. So she'd point the handle at him. It sounds so stupid, but when you think about it, but it was always with Marty, it'd end up in the laughing anyway. It'd probably start off serious. But she'd always try to make her laugh, turning it into a joke.
Marty was homeless and an alcoholic. We travelled all the places around Manor Street that reminded us of her. This was the first place we stopped at. Martin was getting upset.
I'm still upset. I'm not doing it anymore.
Are
you? I wouldn't do it anymore. Do you want to go down with killing yourself?
Martin's driving, but he won't get out of the car. This area haunts him. It haunts me too. I see Marty everywhere.
I don't even drink in my own local since she died. Because Mary, that's where Mary used to go out at the time. Say, well, 70% of the time she got her cans in the Glenman. I drank the Glenman. And I was actually only talking to Susan last week, Susan and Willie, about doing this programme. And
just saying, God, man, I haven't seen you, and I haven't been down in a while. There's too many memories down here with me. Oh, but Marty, like, regardless of other people, friends, or whatever you want to call them. But when I think about Marty, I say, no. Well, I won't even drive. If I had to go to town, south side, I'd go via the Boylan Bridge. And normally, like, the logical way to be come down here, down Manor Street, and we're going over to the south side, I don't need my family on the south side, I'll go Boylan Bridge way. Even the thick of traffic, I'd rather go that way. I don't like coming down here, there's too many memories for me. And to think this way, she died, oh, stop it.
Marty wasn't always an alcoholic. She was a tomboy and a great footballer.
Over the years, and even going to school and that myself, you'd be meeting people and you'd ask, you'd hear the name, like our name, Gore. It's not a very common name, but especially down in Dublin in particular. People meet Gore and they'd say to you, geez, you want to marry Gore? Say, oh, Marty's kid brother. Ah, oh, and some of the stories you'd hear about her, but literally everybody knew her. And I've never actually heard anybody say a bad word about her. It was always very fond words, oh, jeez, and I always reverted back to the one thing, jeez, she was some footballer. I used to go out with Nottingham when I was a kid, you go out and see them playing. And even here in Cabra, there was a big green up there out in the house, you up there playing football. Now, I'd say if there was 20 kids running around that pitch, I get into here, there was only one female, and that was Marty. And she literally run rings around them. But I think, now, if I'm not mistaken, oh God, I can't remember, she probably would have been 20, maybe 21 at the time. But she was invited for trials down at Daly Mount Park. There was some French club come over, like French football was big at the time, ladies football and anyway. And for some reason or other, Marty didn't go. Later transpired, and over the years, I was often asked, now, she was just football crazy. I said, why didn't you go? She said, look, I love the game for the sake of the game. She said, but I don't see it as a future, as a career. So I wasn't interested. All I wanted to do was just play the game, and that was it.
I suppose the area that I associate with my auntie Marty would be starting from Hanlon's Corner, that it becomes Prussia Street right the way down where there's an extra vision there where outside Tesco, so you used to see her there like sometimes having a drink on a sunny day and that, you know, it looked like she hadn't got a care in the world, but I'm sure behind it all she had, like, you know. And then as you come down Prussia Street, she used to actually live in a house in Prussia Street before she was actually became homeless, like. Her life was going pretty good at that time and she lived there. And then as you further go down Prussia Street, it becomes Manor Street. There's Stanhope Street there, which I think is a treatment place for people that suffer from alcoholism. That's on it as well. I used to see her there a lot. And then you've all the pubs then. You've loads of pubs and loads of off-licence as well in the area. So there's a lot of people drinking around the area and a lot of people drunk around the area. So, yeah. And then it goes right down to Blackhall Place. And then the James Joyce Bridge used to be sitting there with Joe and that on the sunny days and that, you know, on the new bridge. And that's it, really. That's it. And I suppose the Simon community, that'd remind me of her as well. Like, and even though she was staying in the Paul Trust over the south side, she'd always seem to make her way over here, like, for whatever reason. She probably just felt, as Martin says, she probably just felt comfortable in the area. It felt accepted in the area and nobody judged her. Well, nobody from around here, because people could identify, they could relate. Maybe they grew up in a household where there was alcoholism, their mother or their father was an alcoholic, and it was like part of life, really, you know, that sort of way. It was so they accepted it, so it was familiar to them.
You see, Marty wasn't my birth mother. Back in 1980, my real mother was struggling to rear three kids. Marty knew her.
Fran refers to me as his uncle. I refer to Fran as a kid brother. But in Marty's eyes, Fran was her son, the son she never had.
I was only 2 years old when Marty brought me to her family home, so I could be reared by her mother and father.
It wasn't Marty's son, although it may as well have been, as it turned out. Marty was looking at Fran's mother. And now, but look, I know the way I'm going. I know the way you're going, but there's a difference here. I haven't got a child. You have. Marty was scared. She didn't want to see Fran. I think she felt that Fran, the way the situation was going with Fran's mother, that she was going to go down a certain road, and the road for Fran was, if he was still with his mother, the authorities would have stepped in somewhere along the line, and he would have ended up in a home. And I think Marty's seen that. She's seen that danger. And she was more bringing Fran here and getting me mad to mind him at the weekends. And then the bond then with my mother and my father. And I remember, if I'm not mistaken, my mum saying, "Oh no, James, I love him and Fran and all this." My dad was saying, "Look, James, we're getting on in years now. Do you really need it?" And because of the fact that it was making my mother happy, my dad agreed. So at some point, I can't be 100%, but at some stage, there was agreement came that, look, we'll wear them. And that's exactly what they did. And then my dad said, "Look, we do this the right way, do it legally. That at least that if anything does happen, Fran's mother can't come back, say, a year, 2 years down the road. She gets her act together to say, I want my son back." So they went through the procedure, the court procedure. So he was actually legally fostered up to the age of 18. At that stage, then, Fran, it was up to his choice what he wanted to do in his life. But remember, I couldn't be 100% the accurate times, dates, or whatever. But that was the day. But that was purely down to Marty, because I think Marty seen the pitfalls. She wasn't basically looking at her own life or too much worry about it. She was more concerned about Fran.
I suppose my first memory would be just bringing me off to see my other brothers and that in the home, like, you know, just stuff like that. She used to bring me over every Sunday to see my other two brothers who were in a home. So yeah, that would have been the earliest memories. I felt, looking back now, I probably felt like the lucky one. You know what I mean? Because I felt like that I had a family. A family that had someone that was looking after me and to love me, and you know what I mean, and I just felt that they hadn't got that at that time.
That reminds me of Marty as well. That's up there. As well. See that Stanhope Street?
That's right, yeah. She's written that line way up there as well. Yeah.
All around this area.
Everywhere.
The whole lot. Here,
yeah.
Sometimes when you're just driving by, it just hits you then, you know what I mean? And then it brings her all back up. You know about how much you miss her and how much you cared about her and how much you wanted to be able to do something for her, but at the end of the day you couldn't. That's the worst, one of the worst things, like, you know what I mean? You wanted to be able to fix her. You wanted to be able to get her in shape on, but you couldn't, like, you know? There's nothing you could do. Just being so helpless. That was one of the hardest things for me. Was it the hardest things for you?
Nightmare.
Just a normal relationship, like, it was like a mother-son when I was younger, and then it was more like friend, like sister, brother, or nephew, auntie, or that kind of stuff, you know, as I got older. I mean, it was a good relationship, like, you know. I had its ups and downs, but it was good, yeah. She taught me how to play football, and she had me mad into football. She used to bring me to school, you know what I mean, stuff like that. She used to bring me out on the back of a motorbike then later on, and used to bring me out bowling and all that kind of stuff. And so she did, like, she spoiled me, as I said, like, she did. And she'd been buying me clothes, and you know what I mean, I didn't want for anything, like, with the whole family, like, you know. So yeah, and I'd be playing football, I suppose, was mainly the main memories. And going off and just going off in the park and feeding the ducks, you know, things you do, like, as a kid or whatever kind of stuff.
You know, you're even saying it there, it's hard. There's a chap actually drinks alongside outside the Glenman, chap Benji. And you say to me, "James, man, I don't come down here in the morning, I'd be Marty. Probably sleep the dog, she'd wake up. If she had two cans straight away, she'd actually hand you. She'd actually give you a can."
Look at how many pubs is in this area. From here to the corner, look at this, four or five pubs. Yeah. And about two or three off.
Well, I always said, like, we're a nice of alcoholics anyway. This is it, what you see here.
Now, you'd see Marty there, you'd see her there drinking with other people and that, you know.
If you, there's one time you were guaranteed to see Marty, and it was, if you like, would be that time of the month. Obviously, a female thing, but there was a chemist there up the road, and Marty actually told my partner, Sandra. She said, I walked into the chemist, she said, it was that time of the month, and she had a handful of change, and the woman wouldn't give her the packet that she required.
And she had to take me jacket off, tie it around my waist, and walk all the way up to Cabra to go in, have a shower, a change, and whatever. But despite the way Marty's life was, she still tried to keep some of her dignity as best she could. I mean, she wasn't proud walking around the streets knowing the life that she could have had, the life that she had got at one stage.
There's never one person enough for Marty. There'd be two, there'd be three, there'd be four. The phone here, they'd be hopping. Marty there, yeah, hang on, the garage, be on the phone. Where are you doing? What are you? The phone would be down in 5 minutes, you'd be up, washed, changed, dressed, gone, out. You wouldn't see her for the night, and that'd be literally Monday to Sunday. Where people always, they enjoy their company. It was never a dull moment when she was around. Just sense of humour, have the crack and what have you. Just total enjoyment. She's a great person to be around, I have to say. Well, being that bit younger than her, I would have noticed that, I'd say, when she probably hit her mid-20s. It was kind of then, you could see, like... See, Marty was a very, very sociable person. Loved her weekends out, the whole lot. But I wouldn't be 100%, but say I reckon around 25, thereabouts. Then all of a sudden, it wasn't weekend drinking. It was going into drinking in the evenings every second night. And then bang, all of a sudden, it was every night. She was literally out drinking every night.
There's another house around the corner here. It's a lane.
Yeah, go down to the... Oh, you can't go down that way. Can you go down that way around where the corner of the... The Regina Chaley, you know, where Morningstar Avenue, yeah, that would have been a predominant area as well for Marty. But she would have stayed in the hospitals around She would have slept outside the door of the hospitals as well, I'm sure, at certain times as well, like when they wouldn't let her in for whatever reason.
A lot of the, well, the say the homeless drinkers now would be up around here, up that laneway. An awful lot of them up around that line, and then you have the hostels stand down here off Brunswick Street. You probably see a few down here now at the moment.
See, they would have been cleared now, all these. They won't let them hang around here because they're all new apartments up there.
See, but this is it. That's what I'm saying again, you see. It's a noise shower. You'd see an awful lot of them congregating here. I'll actually show you a little spot there on the way out. But you'd see loads of congregating around here. But now, as you look, you've a court there, which was formerly the Richmond Hospital. You've apartments. There's apartments there. I'd hate to think what it costs you to get a mortgage and something like that.
They probably a lot of homeless people have probably...
Total noise here, and I swear I'd nearly put a bet in it that the likes of here, the Morning Star, eventually they'd be levelled.
That's gone. Haven House, where
Haven House. There was a place there that was for
women. For as women, well.
That's gone. Got that out. Look what's going into it now. Look, there you go. For the rich and famous.
Marty would have
probably
stepped
around. She'd have stepped there at that door. If she didn't get in on time, that they wouldn't let her in. She'd have to sleep there. But just look at the money, look at the wealth around this area.
I'd say probably her early 20s, thereabouts. Roughly about her early 20s. See, she was going from flat to flat, and it seemed to happen overnight. I mean, as a family, we didn't, 2 weeks maximum, you probably wouldn't see her. There's one thing about Marty, and even as a kid, I'd very... fashion conscious or whatever, and a lot of it was down to Marty. Even people that were amazed, they hadn't seen her for years, and then when she ended up homeless and that, and people looking and they discover who it was, and like, okay, people don't approach it and say, Jesus, Marty, what happened or whatever. And a few people did, they actually said it to me, Jesus, can't believe it, and especially her, because you'd never see her in the same clothes 2 days on the trot. Always bottles about her appearance, then all of a sudden, it was just slowly. But you see, that was the offset of the drinking. The drinking was slowly catching her. And then everything else just diminished.
There's a few deaths in the family now, because she got a bit worse then, and then it steadily progressed then, till it got out of hand then. She couldn't stay in the house anymore, like, it was just too much. She starts staying in hostels and that, and then probably on the streets and after that, like, you know.
They tried, my father got arrested, tried more times, or telling that Marty, look, do this, go there. She actually did go, I think she tried a few places. If I'm not mistaken, she actually ended up down in Kildare at one time. There's some nun or a sister down there, some kind of place for alcohol. She tried that, but I think she was gone beyond the stage there. There was literally no turning back. It was a classic George Best scenario. Look what happened to him. Wealthy man, had everything going for him. But once the drink kicks in, it takes hold of you. There is a point in your life, there is no turning back. You can't physically take somebody like that without literally putting them in a room, locking the door, and feeding them under the door. I mean, you might as well imprison them. I mean, that's you can't. I mean, okay, people go to prison for certain things they've done in life or whatever. They know why they're there. But you, as another human being, you can't physically force them. Marty was a very, very free spirit. Very free spirit. Thought for herself, done for herself. That was her whole philosophy of life. So we said, well, look, the way she's going to kill herself in anyway. What's the alternative? We got a section done, the Mental Health Act, which was actually an option at the time. We're going to kill her in anyway. So the predicament we were in was, what way do we turn? How are we going to handle it? I mean, our conscience was always affected in any way by the situation she was in either way. But for us to go, either let her go the way she was going, or try to take control and say, well, look, if you're not prepared to stop, we're prepared to stop you. And then see the other side, how it would affect her that way. So for us to make that decision, and then at the end of the day, she was a grown woman, her choices. We hadn't literally, even my mother, she hadn't got the right.
Yeah, they would have been worried, obviously, yeah. And we went out looking for her, and we were ringing hostels for her, and I'd be trying to get her to go down to Sister Concilio's to draw you out and all that kind of stuff, you know. But I know it's easy for someone to think, God, if it was someone belonged to them, they'd do this and they'd do that. But it's different. I mean, there's nothing you can do. It's like, you know, I mean, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink it. Unless somebody wants to help and really wants it and wants, you know what I mean? I'm not saying she didn't want help, she would have, but it was just at the stage where it just probably got too much for her, like, you know, she just probably just gave up. It's just a penny just drops with you then, you know what I mean? It's like, because you're bouncing your head off a brick wall, like, I don't mean to be rude, like, I would have loved to see her get sober and sort the life out, like, I really would have, but I just realised that she just couldn't do it, like, it was just too hard for her, you know? I suppose this, I'm just showing you here outside the building society. Is it a building society? This way, this part would remind me of Marty as well. And I used to see her sitting here, but there was a tree here that would have protected her from the shelter, and they actually cut it. They got rid of the tree. Like, I've only seen her a couple of late times here. Like, she would have been drunk probably, you know, and I would have woke her up a couple of times, and she'd be lying there on the ground there with a sleeping bag and that, and we just feel so bleeding sad, like, me had to just break, like, you know, I'd be going home crying, like, upset, leaving her here, and there's nothing that I could do, like, you know, I mean, there'd be times then I'd bring her up to the house, and but the next day she'd be just gone again, like, she'd be gone for drink, like, just the drink had so much of a hold over her, like, you know, that's what I believe, now other people might say that, but just the drink had so much of a hold over her, like, that she couldn't just terrible, like, you know. Sad, and then they cut the tree down as well, like, which, you know what I mean, that says it all, really, doesn't it? Because it was given, they would have had good shelter, because the tree came right over that gate there, so, and it was out, so they would have had good shelter, like, you know. So it's just sad the way people, they disregard, you know, somebody else like that, you know, piece of dirt, like, you know. This is Kenny, Marty's younger brother.
A good few years ago, I remember that time a cousin of mine was over here now on a couple of weeks holidays or something, and we took her out and a husband, myself and a husband there come over, and we went out one night, and we were, I think we came in about 10, 11 o'clock that night, and there was the guards were outside my door, and who was only Marty, and the guard said to me, "Do you know this person?" And I said, "Yeah, this is my sister." And he said, "Do you want us to take her away? You're waiting me at door." And I said, "No, leave her there," I said. And the only reason why that Marty came over here was she wanted to see our cousin. Because our cousin was staying with me at the time. So I put her into the car, and I was bringing her back over on the north side, and she started picking on me then in the car there. She started getting a bit aggressive in my car, so I was half afraid, and that night though, it was lashing out, and when I was bringing her over, she started picking on me and saying yous were no good in the family, because as I say, that's the way drink can get you. Like, it can give you a terrible, the false encouragement. So I had to pull the car up, and I couldn't go any further. And this was on the Infirmary Road, just off Park 8th Street. And I said to her now, I said, "Marty, I'm not taking you any further unless you're quieting up." And she didn't. And I left her there in the pounds of rain, because she was totally drunk, and I turned that car and I went back home, and I felt sorry for her. I pitied her.
I used to drink in a pub in Manor Street there in the Glenmore, and I was there one Friday, and I'm probably going back maybe 7 years ago, and I went in the Friday, sat with a friend of mine and girlfriend, and you're sitting there, and the girlfriend was at the end of the toilet, she went, she chases some poor girl out of the toilet, so God love her, she's homeless, she's having a few beers. My girlfriend, I said, actually gave her a fiver. And when she came in, she was sitting there telling me, my friend, and his girlfriend, and I was saying, "So that's my sister." She looked at me, she said, "Yeah, you're winding me up." I said, "I swear to God, so I bet you any amount of money," I said, "that's my sister." And lo and behold, it was. My mate Martin went up, he went over and actually just stuck his head in the door, saying that she's coming out. She was actually coming out of the door of the ladies. Lo and behold, it was her. It was in a bit that cold night in particular. Marty had a couple of cans. She came into the ladies' toilet. Now, everybody knew her. There wasn't a person in the pub, in fairness to them, that would actually come out and say it to Susan or Willie, Marty's or whoever, whether they knew her by name or what, would actually say, "She's in the toilet drinking." So they knew everybody, literally everybody knew her around the Dublin 7 area. So they'd never actually say it, that she's in there, get her out of the toilets, whatever. And the owners obviously had a problem with her.
It's one of the flats here that Joe was saying that they turn water out over them, like, you know. So I'm here on my own now because I don't want Martin coming down, because I know he'd probably get upset and he'd probably get angry. And even though I'm angry, I'm upset myself, he'd probably come back and, you know, he'd vent his anger out on you, you know what I mean? I wouldn't like him to do that because he'd only upset himself, you know, get into trouble. But yeah, it's just, I'm feeling sad now just thinking about it, like, you know, it's just like, I could just picture them, like, just sitting there, like, probably minding their own business, you know what I mean, not minding, and then just someone just throwing water out, like, totally unprovoked, like, there'd be no need for it, like, how I'm thinking about how Marty felt, she probably would have felt degraded enough as it was on the street, and Joe, and then how, to feel like that someone else can make them feel that bit more degraded by throwing something over them and making them feel like that bit less, like, you know, it just upsets me, you know, it just upsets me. But you know what I mean, I'm not going to get angry over, you know, because Marty wouldn't want me to get angry over, you know, I just what can you say, like, you know, you're just nothing, like, you know. And there's another off license there that Marty would have been buying a lot of alcohol, they would have known it out as well. So what we walk in this area, like, so I'd be up and down this area a lot, and after a while it just becomes second nature, like, you know, like when I do stop and I'm at the traffic lights and I'm in the van, I'm walking, and then it just stands on me, like, and it just brings it over me, like, you know. And it's just, what can you do, like, there's nothing you can do, you can just, she's not on the streets anymore, like, I know that my I don't know how that sounds, but I know when I'm looking out the cold and the night time and it's raining, I know that Marty's not out there. And that might be selfish of me, but at least I'm sure there's a lot of other people out there, because like when you're in your bed at night and you're wondering, where is she, and you know what I mean, and is she out there, is she safe, is she in a doorway, and it's just, do you know what I mean, it's just hard. But that's, could you imagine how it was for her? And there's me giving out, well, I'm not giving out, I'm just saying like it's hard, but it was obviously harder for her, like, you know what I mean, she was out and like, you know. And it's just sad, like, it just makes me sad, like, you know, to think of it, like, you know.
I don't think it could register during that with me until I really seen her during out on the street. And I've often went by her more times now, in the car and that. Because I walk on the north side a lot, and I've often seen her, and I'd be passing by her, and she'd be with all her friends. They were all the down and outs, and I used to be ashamed of her. And then somebody then told me that's not her fault. And then after that, then I just said, God, maybe you're right there. Sure. So now and again, then I often stopped. And I often talked to her, and Marty would always, we nearly want to hug you, and her words was, and she always said, I love you, you're my brother and all that, and they're lovely moments.
Yeah, it was saying, look, we're sitting here now in Price Street car park outside Tesco's. There's a man there was got 1, 2, 3 containers of empty bottles, beer bottles, wine bottles, you know, the whole lot. And you've got 3, 5, 8, 10 bottle banks.
And 2 on
the other side. And then there's a couple there on the far side. And there you go, there's people. And as what I was saying, there's nothing to say that the man, you assume, has a home there, nice car, job, I assume. And there's nothing to say that man, this year, next year, any time down the road, could end up out on the streets the way my sister did. There's nothing to say that.
Joe, who we've mentioned a few times, was Marty's partner on the streets. He was the last person to see her alive. Joe now lives in the warehouse in Angel Street.
I knew Marty years, but then we got together and we stuck together. He did. My mate's on the sea a long time. I was on the sea for a long time, you know. But me and Ma used to get a drink every morning. We woke up every morning. We used to go down to Manor Street, London. And Ma used to go in for me and get a drink for us. We used to drink us all across the road at the bus stop. We were happy. I'd done everything for Mary. I'd done everything for Mary. Because Mary looked after me, you know. Looked after each other. Mary knew it and I knew it. Mary loved me and I loved Mary. That's the truth. We got on together. Well, we have our mishaps, you know, arguments, you know, up and down, like, but we were happy, me and Mary. She was my partner. So we were in Manor Street one day. And this chap came along, sat beside us, and a marriage coat was on the ground. He grabbed the coat and went off. And what was in the coat was her inhalers. So he married some asthma. So this chap took the coat, what's in the coat? Inhalers. In Manor Street. That's why I lost Mary. She had no inhalers. I lost Mary. So what can I do? But she didn't die there. I ran down the road to get the ambulance. When the ambulance came, she said she's not up too good. But then after she died in James and the matter hospital. But Well, I just think about it. I know when I die, I'm going to meet Mary. You know. Because Mary's waiting for me.
And at the end, it was a bit of a tragedy, like, you know what I mean? But she made a difference to my life, so was her life. Like, I don't mean that in a selfish way. She made a difference to my life. She made a difference to my brother's life, like, you know what I mean? A positive. She would have made a lot of difference, positive impact on other people's lives. So it wasn't a waste of a life, like, by no means. Like, it was just a tragic end to such a good person, like, you know what I mean? And such a sad end, and, like, you know what I mean? And that person like that, so full of life, and, you know what I mean, with goals and dreams and all that kind of stuff and everything, like, and just ending up like that, like the end, like the way it ended, like, it wasn't nice. Like, nobody should have to, you know what I mean, die that way, you know. But, you know what I mean, she obviously saved me life, probably. Should be known, she's probably saved me from going into a home, into in a school, you know. So yeah, I would owe a lot to her, I mean, I really do. But I can pay her back by just getting on with my life and living the best of my life that I can, like, you know what I mean? Just continue on what she started, what her plans were, like, for me to have a good life and better opportunities that I probably wouldn't have got, you know what I mean, in my family home, like, in all of a bond. So yeah, just continue on that and make her proud, hopefully, you know.
When she wasn't drinking, she was an angel. Well, she is an angel now. I don't think any of the family will. None of us won't forget her, because there are times that I've often drove around the city and places where I often saw Marty sitting, and the first thing hits me is Marty was sitting there. You know, and even though you say that now, there's still a few of them going around sitting in them places. But now, in the last few months, I noticed I haven't seen the few that was with Marty. I don't know where they ever went, and if they died or not. You know, I haven't a clue.
I was just coming to a flat down here Marty used to live in, not just down past the next building. Hello. How are you? How's things? Hello. Just down past the next one. I think it's number 5, Prussia Street. That's where Marty used to live. So I even have memories of Marty living there. Even, like, our life was manageable at the time, you know, and I remember I living there and I used to stay in the flat where I, like, you know. So that'd remind me of Marty, that house, like, as I'm going by, like, you know. I suppose Martin was talking about that chap up at the bottle bank and all that kind of stuff, but every alcoholic has a different rock bottom. It's just Marty's rock bottom was just, like, at the end of the road, like, on the streets, like, it couldn't really got any worse. Well, death, like, you know, but other people have rock bottoms and it doesn't look that bad. On the outside, they might look like their life is good, but on the inside, it could be, like, you know what I mean, it could be in ribbons, like, you know. But this house here, number 5, that's where Marty used to live, in that ground there. Brown floor there, that flash used to live in there. So it brings it back a few memories. The house has changed, but yeah, this whole area is changing, but I still see Marty everywhere. Yeah, that it is weird, it's surreal, like, just standing here, you know. And I suppose it's sad that you're not going to see her anymore when you come down to these places or any of that kind of stuff, you know. But life goes on, you know, and that's it, really, you know. That's it. It's like, look at the changes now. Like, she wouldn't have got to see. If you look down Manor Street there now, the end of Manor, Prussia Street, where it becomes Manor Street, you can see the old and the new. There's the new. Look at the 14-story tower in Smithfield, and that would have been a major place for around the Jemison as well, for homeless people coming to the tower for the heat before it got all done up, you know. So
I bumped into today, Pat McCaffrey.
Remember, he used to manage Marty?
Yeah. Why did they see him every night?
Yeah.
Pat,